Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and Money Web.
And finally on our program tonight, Markets and Company News. With me is Viv Govender, Wealth Manager at Rand Swiss. Viv, good evening to you. Let's start off with Italtile. It says it's seeing early signs of green shoots, and this is turning into spend, but not necessarily immediately. I think what's more important is that this type of industry, focusing on the building sector, is very much a barometer of either positivity or negativity within our economy. And maybe this is a good sign, right?
Almost certainly. I mean, you want to be seeing people, you know, buying stuff, building their houses up, etc. And so that is a positive sign. However, I think we are seeing a situation right now where some of this, you know, positive sentiment may have overtaken the actual underlying market. So, I mean, we saw those GDP numbers come out last week that were quite disappointing. Yes, they were focused on primarily the agricultural sector, but, you know, we are still seeing, you know, even without that, GDP looking at, you know, just barely above, you know, flat for the Chilista period. I do think that the fact of the matter is that, yes, we are seeing, you know, some signs that, you know, people are a bit more optimistic, but we need to start seeing that actually returning to the overall economy, seeing growth rates go above 2% before we can be comfortable that a consumer-facing thing like this is going to be, you know, sustainably positive.
But staying with the property sector, Growthpoint, I read, is also expanding developments to meet rising demand. The Western Cape accounting for a quarter of the group's total income. That excludes, by the way, the V&A waterfront. So not only is that, Viv, a good indication of sentiment right now, but it also gives a very good idea of how the geographic tilt in terms of the property market is turning.
Yeah, look, I mean, I do think this is a case of one property market doing really well and the rest of the country being under a bit of pressure. I've seen numbers for Gauteng, I've seen numbers for KZN, etc., that are not looking anywhere near as positive as Cape Town. I don't know how long this trend can continue because we are seeing prices in Cape Town approaching levels where, you know, affordability is going to be an issue. But I do think that, you know, the Cape at the moment does seem to be the one sector in the South African, you know, tourist real estate market that is positive. Obviously, you know, with commercial real estate as well, they are being affected by what's happened with COVID and the fact that not everyone has returned to work. But again, we are seeing the Western Cape also getting, you know, influx from, you know, this immigration from other parts of the country to that particular province. The hope is, though, that we're seeing things like, for instance, the, you know, ending of load shedding, some improvements in terms of, you know, policing, etc., basically in places like KZN, that this trend might to some extent be reduced because, yes, it's great for the Western Cape to be doing that well, but we want the rest of the country to do reasonably well as well.
I don't know how closely, Viv Govender, you're following the Murray and Roberts story, but we know the organization, once a darling on the JSE, is currently navigating a business rescue in its South African operation. Trading was suspended on the JSE. There are all sorts of cash flow difficulties. I see now a third member of the board has resigned, non-executive director Alexandra Muller, appointed in July 2022. This is a company that really is on the back foot.
Yeah, look, I mean, basically the fact of the matter is that I think that we've seen a situation with this country where the after effects of the 2010, you know, towards the World Cup, the fact that towards the government went after, you know, companies like in the construction sector for competition issues, etc., may have been, you know, justified in terms of the letter of the law, but I mean, may have been also short-sighted. We are going to be seeing a situation, you know, down the line where we still going to be needing construction companies. However, our construction sector has been gutted, you know, over the last decade and a half or so. And in the future, maybe when we build the new buildings and new bridges and whatnot, we have to use international companies because we won't have the local expertise to do the things anymore that we were able to in the past. You did mention the fact that, you know, we are seeing, you know, the group chair, you know, Suresh Khanna also resigned in the end of November. This does indicate that, you know, to a certain extent, people are seeing opportunities elsewhere. They're seeing this has been maybe a sinking ship. And a company like Morgan Roberts, it's all about its, you know, its institutional knowledge, its people's, you know, brain power, etc., the experience that they've had. And the fact of the matter is that the high-end you know, executives leaving like this is not a great sign for the company.
Viv, let's turn our attention to Absa, if we can. Late last week, we were talking about a restructure as far as the organization is concerned. It was looking to win back trust, and there's been a nicer surge in the share price of late. What trust does it need to win back? And is this the kind of move that you think the market is actually looking for?
Yeah, look, Absa has done a really nice move in the last, you know, little while. I mean, it's up in the last 5 days, 12%. In the last, say, you know, basically year or so, it's up like 22%. But this still brings it to a P ratio of under 9 and a dividend yield of over 7. That is a market that's a dividend yield and a P ratio. The market isn't basically placing a lot of confidence in what's happening in the company at the moment. So yes, we are seeing a return, you know, in terms of positivity. But even after the moves we have seen, this is a, you know, a pretty, like, you know, a weak set of ratios here, showing that the market is not confident at all about the company's the situation going forward. The restructuring, like you said, you know, the consolidating of those various units, reversing some of the moves that have been done in the past, probably does make sense. But I do think that, you know, it's not just a case of you need to get back to what was working in the past. This is like when we saw Pick and Pay getting back to, you know, what was working in the past to try and get the, you know, back on track. Unfortunately, the sector as a whole has moved in a different direction. You can see what's happening with the emergence of more banking, you know, towards entities in the South African market over the last couple of years, showing that, you know, the old model of banks is no longer valid. In fact, it might be actually an advantageous thing to get into the sector now, because you're not going to have all these legacy costs that are that you have to worry about. You can basically, you know, to a certain extent nowadays, operate a banking, a major bank without having branches, without having the kind of footprint you used to have in the past, most of it online, because that's how people deal with things. And I think the advantage that the new, like, you know, entrants have is something that shows that, you know, maybe you need to have a more aggressive approach to the bank, as opposed to just saying, just reverse some of the moves that have made us or been loss making in the last couple of years.
Let's look at two overseas stories, if we can, Viv. Let's start with Tesla. If I'm reading this correctly, the share hitting $400 in overnight trading at the weekend. What's driving this?
I think to a certain extent, it's the Trump election. I mean, if you look at the, where the share price was when Trump, the day before Trump was elected, and the 4th of November till now, it's up 60% in the last month, effectively. And this is for a company currently worth, you know, just north of $1.2 trillion. And of course, you know, also we are seeing the share price of Tesla is more than its all its competitors virtually combined. You look at Volkswagen, Toyota, the entire, like, auto industry combined is at the moment worth less than Tesla. A couple of things are driving it. One is the Trump election. Elon Musk seems to have the ear of Donald Trump, and it's possible that we're going to be able to, like, push Trump to do the kind of things that are going to benefit Tesla. For instance, you know, maybe, even though Trump has said he's not going to do this, you know, increase, you know, EV credits, maybe, or though Trump has agreed to this kind of stuff, the tariffs on imports into the US especially. The one of the things that people are talking about is the full self-driving capability of Tesla, which is an important part of the company's value. That one of the things that the Trump administration wants to do is make, you know, once it's accepted that full self-driving is no valid, it's going to be valid across the entire country. It's like, you know, you have a driver's license in California, you can drive in Florida. It's not going to be a case of you can't drive in Florida. If you have a driver's license in California, you've got to get a driver's license in Florida. It's going to be a cross-country kind of thing, which would make it a lot easier for Tesla to roll out its full self-driving. And the reason I mentioned that is that if you look at, like I said, Tesla is worth more than all the other car companies combined, yet doesn't sell anywhere near as many cars as a Volkswagen or even a Toyota or, like, you know, a Hyundai, etc. And so the only way you can justify the performance of, or the share price of Tesla, is to assume that the AI self-driving stuff is going to be incredibly valuable. And the move that he's making right now is going to make this much easier to achieve.
And very quickly, time's against us. A U.S. appeals court is upholding the law forcing the sale of TikTok.
Yeah, TikTok ban pushed forward by the Biden administration. I don't know if this is going to last or not. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg is very positive about banning TikTok. He obviously made something to compete with it. Trump has been less positive about banning TikTok. He thinks it might be something that is going to be more favorable to him in terms of coverage, etc. So, yes, this has gone through the courts in terms of this appeal being lost. But I think maybe the legislation might change once we have a new administration in power.
Viv Govender from Rand Swiss, as always, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.